All right, thank you guys. Love that song there. So good. The unshakable kingdom and the unchanging person, who is Christ, our King. Isn't it good news that we have access to something like that? My goodness, I'm telling you guys, we just got to break into it. We just got to surrender into it. We just got to give it up, let Him consume it. It's good stuff. Tonight I want to do, I think, just quite a bit of sharing. I wanted to try to get some things out that have been working in me over the last year or more than a year. A lot of what I was saying this morning, but a lot of things that I have been thinking through that, to me, I'm just going, oh my goodness, this has to be. So I'd like to put that off on you guys, some of these things that I've been thinking. But before we do that, let's just pray and ask the Father to speak. So Father, we are in Your presence, and Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of truth. You're the Spirit of life. And I just ask You, Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts to You, each one of us. And I would ask you, brothers and sisters, just think about that, opening up your heart to Him. Father, we open up our heart to You. And we ask You to come into our fears and speak into those fears. We ask You to enter into the places and help loosen us up in Your presence and help us to feel the safety that You have already provided. Pray, Father, we could open up our lives in a deeper way and receive You, receive the love that You've already paid for us to have. And Father, we're so grateful. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful You're present. Lord Jesus, thank You for being our Lord and Savior. We just ask You to speak tonight through Your Word and through my life and what You've been doing in me. Lord, I know You're at work in this church. I'm so grateful for my brothers and sisters, such quality people. I just pray You would pour out Your very best and glorify Yourself through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read tonight a section of Scripture out of John chapter 17. If you would like to go there, I'm sorry, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. So when you read it, if you've got the King James or the New King James, it's a little bit different. I apologize for that, but this is my Bible right here. You know how your Bible, you can find stuff in it? There's certain verses, you know exactly where they are because I've looked at them so many times. And I try to, you know, when I'm up here, I do my best to teach out of a New King James or a King James for your benefit so we're on the same page. But I get those Bibles and they're not my Bible. I can't find stuff in here. It's like, where did that verse go? It was right, I know where it is. It's not there. So I've got my NASB here. I didn't select that for any reason other than it was my dad's Bible, or one of his Bibles. You know, we have like 45 Bibles at the house. You know, we just have Bibles everywhere. Dad had this one, and I grabbed it like 10 years ago, and it just became my Bible. So I'm going to read in John 17, starting in verse 13. About God the Father. This is Jesus speaking to His Father, the most intimate things, the deepest things upon His heart. This is directly before He's taken into custody and goes to the cross. So starting in verse 13 of chapter 17, "But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Man, some powerful scriptures. My favorite one being Jesus saying, thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. So we know what God's been up to forever. It's been said that fatherhood is at the center of the universe, and that is a true statement. God is a father. Of course, he's a Trinity, but God is a father. He's a good, good father. And in these verses here, Jesus is speaking about his disciples who were all about to be sifted. In that Luke 22:31 passage, the word you there is plural. So what Satan was asking for was all of them, not just Peter. And we know they were sifted because when it came down, when it was time to shine, they all scattered. See, they wanted to be God's friend. They would claim to be his friend. They would say that they are his. But when the fire gets turned on, they get sifted. And they go a direction they didn't want to go. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? You know, I do the thing I don't want to do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. That's what he's talking about. When the heat gets turned up, what is in here? See, that's the training that we're in. Now, the disciples, obviously, this was supposed to happen. It's one of the ways that we find out how weak and desperate we are. It's just the truth. These are facts that you have to face. And they did face it. They all came back together. We know as the story moves forward, they're in that upper room. And they have found alignment together. Nobody's better than anybody else. All of them could look each other in the eye and say, yeah, you ran. They all knew they bailed. But they were brothers in their weakness. And see, that's the power of the gospel. He's not asking us to be awesome and get it done and be holy and be righteous. He's asking us to be weak. Just admit it. Just be honest about your weakness. That's the whole thing. Do y'all know that, not all of them, of course, but you got four Gospels, and the disciples themselves had input into what was written. I mean, if you read, I mean, just think about Peter. Peter's, you know, I wonder if he looked at any of the, you know, wonder these types of things. Did they check with each other? Did they talk with each other? Did they ask questions? Did they look at, hey, check out chapter 10, Peter. You really did a job on this one here. Take a look at it. Look at what you did. Peter's reading this story going, oh gosh, the whole world needs to know. But see, they just told the truth. It just is, it's what it is. God saves broken people who make bad choices because we're manipulated by something bigger than we are. And all he's asking is that we would admit it to each other. And these guys, as they got rid of all that stuff and they just faced it and said, yes, I did it, and let God restore them and fill them with life and love, they go off and change the world with that. They found that union, that unity in weakness. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. He starts out 1 Corinthians with, you know, God wants the base things. He wants the weak things to make them strong things. He goes on in chapter 12 to go into that a little bit further, that Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made strong in your weakness. And so Paul says, so I'll boast in my weakness. I'm going to get this out. See, that's something that we have forgotten along the way in the church. We've forgotten to lead with our weakness. We're supposed to be letting the world know out there how broken we are, how needy we are, how much we're leaning on God's loving forgiveness, and we're speaking against that pride. We all have this pride that wants to rise up all the time. And we're living a life right against it. And man, that's when the power begins to come, when we'll tell the truth. The most powerful man in the room is the most honest man. Because they'll tell the truth about themselves. They're not hiding things. And they can be filled with God then. If we empty ourselves, He'll fill us. So, I wanted to kind of go over a few things in my own story. I was really saved, really supernaturally at 7 years old. And I won't get into that whole story, but it wasn't normal, I would say. It was kind of a little on the... because during it, and I'm just telling you what happened, and I still don't know all about it. I don't understand it all. But I heard a voice speak just like I'm speaking, but there wasn't anything there. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. But what it said to me as a 7-year-old was, there's more going on here than what I can see. And so I came to the Lord in that. And man, when I came to the Lord, I was on cloud 9. I got released into, I thought this was the greatest thing ever, me and God. I mean, I was turned on as a little 7-year-old. I was memorizing the Bible. I was taking my Bible down to Avoca Elementary School with me, and I'd put it under my desk, and I was just being your model Christian. I was really on fire. And I would go to Euclid, and but I think I was sort of a little bit too much of a goody-two-shoes, you know, kind of telling everybody what to do type of thing, a little too excited. And other boys didn't appreciate that. And so what happened with me is that the process started. I didn't know what the process was. I just thought it was me and God, and there was no stopping me, and everybody was going to part when I came and told them what they needed to do. And man, it didn't happen that way. So when God didn't protect me, I just turned on Him. I decided I couldn't trust Him. I just didn't know. I didn't understand. And I began to turn my back on Him, like, I don't know about this, And so, as my story unfolded, and as I said today, it happened in stages, but I began to just completely turn and just go the other direction. I was like, oh, forget this stuff. And then, you know, things got really bad. And then my story took me all the way up to becoming a youth pastor, and that all happening there, all of this junk in me. Because if you got it in here, it's going to come out. It's just a matter of time. What is in your heart is going to come out. People will see it. When the pressure gets on, it's going to come out. That's why when things happen, Christians do crazy things, you're like, whoa, that was out of character. Well, they got squeezed. You're not getting that stuff out. We got to get it out. It's okay if you get squeezed. Just be humble. Confess your sins. Look inside. Why did I do that for? So I get spit out the other side. I'm 38 years old, I think, at the time. Get spit out of ministry. Just burned out. Oh, my gosh. In so much pain. Had to take a couple years off. out of ministry, which I really needed. And then God brings me back home to Bristol, which I never thought I would come back to Bristol. And what he did was, see, God became my real father at 7 years old. He became my father. And I rejected him. And so he didn't get to raise me. And so because he didn't get to raise me, I didn't learn the things I needed to learn. I did my own thing. It didn't work. It was a disaster. So when I came back home at 38 years old, kind of felt like I was just starting over, like limping back home. You know, it was like the reverse hero story. You know, the hero story is that you leave town and you do all these things and you fight these battles and you come back and you win, and then you come home and you help everybody at home. That's the hero's journey. Mine was the anti-hero's journey. Just go out there and completely fail and then come back home with not much to offer. But what God told me in that story was, Paul, you didn't let me raise you the first go around. But I'm going to refather you this time, if you'll let me. Let me father you. Let me raise you up. I see, you have to learn the things you have to learn. Doesn't matter how old you are. These are spiritual things. God the Father wants to teach you what it is to be a spiritual son or daughter. And he's got to father, he will father you through it if you'll give yourself to him, if you'll begin to trust, if you'll stay, if you'll keep seeking his face, if you'll understand the relationship, if you'll get into intimacy with him. And I didn't have any problem with intimacy with him. I would spend hours with God, and it was great, and I loved all that. It was the sharing with other people that I wouldn't do. It was the confronting of things and fears and things like that that I wouldn't do. But he's helped me with that as well. See, he'll work with you. He will help you. And that's what the last 12 years here have been like for me, just God fathering me. You know, I had a lot of strong friendships and people that I really love here the first half of my life. And when I got back here, I just kind of had to keep my distance from everything because I was still being refathered. And just in the last two, three years, God's been giving me these reconnections with these old friends of mine that go all the way back to like kindergarten. And their lives are messed up. And they're wanting answers. And see, it's like I've gone before them to where I can begin to say, well, here's what happened. Here's how we've been living. Here's what I did. I don't even have to talk about their life. I can just tell my own story, and it relates, because that's what we do as humans. So I'm back here today. God is still at work in my heart. I have so many weaknesses, so many fears. They still come up, you know. Thank God I'm set free from some of those really damaging behaviors that I used to do, because some behaviors are more damaging than others. Thank God a lot of that's gone, but I still have the roots in there. Comes out of fear. See, you have to, the sin is just a fruit of a root problem. And you have to go all the way back into those fault lines on your heart. We all have these fault lines. So when the ground shakes, that fault line is going to break. There's going to be something come out that's going to shake the building. You know, you might crumble. And God's still working on me deeply, because I'm opening up more and more and more to him, getting this stuff out. See, these types of things that I'm dealing with now, they come out on my children, my own children. You know, when I'm here just recently trying to be a good father to Joshua, as my oldest, and you know how your kids are, you know, they're making mistakes and they're not doing this and they're not doing that, and you see everything they're not doing and all everything that's wrong, and it's so easy to get into that mode of telling them this and this and this and this. And Joshua, in tears not too long ago, He said, "Dad, I don't like being with you because you make me feel like a failure." Oh, man, that hurts. But see, that's what I did to God the Father. He was trying to help me too, and I rejected him. And I didn't get that in me, that value, that security, that safety, that love, so that I could, with Joshua, I've not done a good job of just letting Joshua know, you are the delight of my heart. It's not about how well you're doing at anything. I just like being with you. I love you. I like being with you. See, because what you don't have in your heart, you can't give to anybody else. And it's when these things occur, like when my son says that type of thing. Thank God he could say that to me. It was a great wake-up call for me. That was very painful to hear. But, see, now you can do something about it. Now I can take that to the Lord. God, I'm still doing this. Please, God, please help me. Help me. Help me. Fill me with this so I have it to give to him. And the Lord can help you make these choices in your own life, in your own heart, how you're living. And I began to do that, and it's healing that. And I was able to say, Joshua, I don't mean to make, that's not my intention at all. I mean, you know, being a father's hard. Let's just say that. Loving your kids and getting that message across to them. I really love you just how you are. And I want to transfer that. That's what God the Father wants to do to us. We are his beloved children. Beloved meaning, I just want to be with you. I delight in you. He's not looking for behavior. Behavior will take care of itself if you feel the love. If you get the breath of God and you're at peace. You'll want to be with him. You'll want to do what he's doing. He does beautiful things. You'll want to do those beautiful things. If you're out of pain. But if you got so much pain in here, you're going to be driven to do things to try to make it better or try to work the world to where you don't get exposed, or you're just trying to solve a problem in here. So I just want to see us as a church become a place where we all can experience this with one another and have a place that we can get these things out. What happened in your life? Where's the pain? What happened to you? What did you do when this happened to you? How did you respond to that? What footprint has the enemy left on your soul that has, you're still carrying that thing? You're just carrying it along with you. And you're drowning in it sometimes. People are drowning these days. I mean, I hear from them, okay? They'll come in and you get some real honesty. They'll say, I don't want to live anymore. People are in pain, guys. I mean, it's everywhere. And we've got to create a place in which we can get this Father's love. Jesus paid, he suffered greatly to give this away to us. That it could find a home inside of us, that we could give it away to the world. That's what we've got to do. So God brought me back to Bristol for a do-over. And it took a few years for me to figure this out. And so it was actually, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about the CR journey for me. And what it taught me, and what I wasn't getting, what I didn't get from just being a pastor. It's so ridiculous for me to say this. I didn't get this from being a pastor and coming to church, but in this program, and again, I'm not trying to promote CR either. I am trying to promote the gospel, okay? That's what I'm trying to promote. That's what we are all about. That's the only reason we exist, is because of the gospel. But if we're not doing it, guys, we just turn into the local Lions Club really fast, don't we? I mean, so When I began to look at the steps, these are the things that I like about the steps. The steps are things that you can take a look at and say, you can read it, because there are 12 steps. You can read it and you can take that step. Or you can say, hey, I'm not taking that step. That's something I'm not doing right there that I've got to do, because it's the New Testament. It's the gospel. Got to do that. And it just laid them all out there for me to look at them. And I could see there was a couple of them. I was glaring at me like, oh, God, I'm not doing those two, and I don't want to do those two either. And yet that's the gospel. So what am I doing up here calling myself a pastor or a leader of any kind, and you're not doing the very thing that you're called to do? It gets you into a mess, a predicament. And I got into a predicament. So I started digging into, you know, CR and Celebrate Recovery is actually was based upon Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, what is this? You know, where did it come from? What? I'm always one of the, I like to know the genesis of everything. Like, let's go back to Adam, and we'll start there, and we'll move this thing forward. So I looked up this story, and look, I looked at this up on Wikipedia. Okay. I didn't look up this on some Christian perspective on AA. So back in the 30s, Bill W., who started AA, was a severe alcoholic. And back then, they didn't have, you know, programs for alcoholics. They'd send them to a sanitarium. That's what they'd do. And so he had been to a couple of those, and he was at one of these again. And his testimony is that Jesus Christ came into his room like a bright light. Like a bright white light, and just healed him. Just alcoholism over. That's just one step, not 12, one step. Meet Jesus, alcoholism over. And he was free, but he had struggled with alcohol so long that he was just captivated by, I want to give this to other people. The problem is you can't really recreate that. Wouldn't it be nice? You can say, Jesus, come, and they're healed. But you can't recreate that. And so what Wikipedia says that Bill W. did is he found him a local Bible club, and he started attending. And so he was looking through the scriptures, looking for the principles involved in freedom. There's principles involved, just like gravity is a principle in the created order. You know, we don't know how it works exactly or why it works, but we know how to work with it. And you have to learn how to work with it. If you don't, you're going to suffer for that. You know, you fall down the steps, you're going to hurt for that one. You trip and fall, you're going to hurt for that. You jump off a building, you're going to hurt for that one. You can work with gravity. It's a principle all the way around the world. Okay? So he was looking for principles like that. What are the principles? Like the first one is that I'm powerless. Can't do this. I don't have what it takes to get over this. So that's one of the principles. Yeah, that's just the truth. Things will dominate us, and we're powerless. We have to bring that level of truth to God. God, here's my life. I have no power. I can't manage it. It's yours. Okay, and he went down the line like that, and then for whatever reason, He decided to take the Bible out of it and God out of it. I don't know exactly why that is, but AA has been it's a decentralized organization, so nobody runs it. There's no power structure over it that could contort it or mess it up. It just is what it is. You run through the principles in a meeting, and many, many people have been set free from it. But the point is, it came out of the Bible, and people aren't told that. They're just principles, though. It's not the presence of God. It's not a salvation experience. It's just, you know, if you tell the truth, you get the benefit of telling the truth, right? Because that's a principle. Truth is a principle in the world. Whether you're saved or not, if you tell the truth, you get the benefits of it, don't you? Might not send you to heaven, but while you're here, it's going to work out well for you. Why? Because you're working with a principle. So that's what CR is. It just helps you line it all out and walk it all out And for somebody like me, who's far too right brain, and I'm all out here, you know, in the nether world thinking about things, just bring it down and show me. I got to take this step right here. It's very helpful for me to just know. So as the, you know, AA was something that went on, and Celebrate Recovery in particular comes out of Saddleback Church. A guy named John Baker was another severe alcoholic who the Lord got a hold of, and he started going, he lost his family, he started going to AA meetings, and he was trying to get over the alcoholism. His family has gotten saved, and were starting to go to this church, and they were inviting him to go. They were trying to get reconciliation, and he began to go, and God got a hold of his life big time. And then he was noticing, he was like, you know, these AA meetings, they're just talking about a higher power. He's like, I know my higher power. It's Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus at these meetings. And then he's looking at principles, and he's like, these are all just Bible principles anyway. Here's the Bible verses that go with it. And so that's where CR came from. They developed a program that was just Christ-centered with those steps. Now, a lot of people have things they don't like about CR, and I understand that. Some people can get so caught up in the program of CR. And listen, guys, it's not about 12 steps. It's about Christ Jesus. It's about a walk with Him. It's about unity with Him. It's about union with God is what it's about. But if you can take 12 steps that you can walk out, which I like to call the backside of the gospel now that I've been through this, man, that can, when you can take the gospel, because I did not know this, I really didn't. To me, the gospel was everything that Jesus did. And it is that. But you know what I'm saying? When you say you're going to present the gospel to somebody, that's what you do. You present to them what Jesus did. And it's all true, and it's great, and that is the gospel. But I'd never thought about the backside. That once you receive it, now these steps are steps that you take. And there, guys, there is one way in this. One way. It is in this New Testament, clear as a bell. Now, how the church forgot this, that's the thing that has troubled me over these last couple years. It's like, what are we doing exactly if we're not doing this? Why am I going to another meeting a week when I've already got three meetings that we do as a church? What are we doing at these three meetings? That was my question. I'd love for any feedback on that. I found this quote in a book. It says, when the churches forget their own gospel message, the Holy Spirit sneaks in through the ducts and the air vents. AA meetings and CR meetings, etc., because there's other things just similar to this that aren't either one of those, but AA meetings and CR meetings, etc., have been very good ductwork, allowing fresh air both in and out of many musty and mildewed churches. Now, here's the problem with that, guys. I feel like as a pastor, I'm going to be held accountable for that. I mean, that's starting to weigh on me more. Like, what are you doing at your meetings, Paul? What are you guiding your people to do? What are you explaining that this is all about? What kind of people attend? And are you helping someone who needs it to meet Jesus and then follow Him in the backside of the gospel and be set free, become free? See, that's what I feel like we are called to do. That is it. Would everybody agree with that? You know, the old school testimony, I call it the old school testimony. It's the testimonies we've heard our whole lives. And it goes something like this. You know, somebody is just a complete mess. And then they meet Jesus. And then everything's great. They have this before Christ and after Christ testimony. And you look at it and go, yeah. And then the more I'm alive, I'm like, you know what? That's not really accurate. We're not really telling the whole story. Do y'all know the to be a pastor or a leader, there's so much pressure on it because you do think that. You're like, I'm supposed to have met Jesus and now I do everything right now. Like I don't have problems. So you, as a pastor, you do begin to think in terms of, well, I'll have to hide that. I can't really talk about that. I'll have to act out this thing up here in front of everybody because I can't really let people see how weak and broken and pitiful I really am. And then in the process, what we do as leaders is we don't help you understand how to walk out your own brokenness. We don't explain it. I've never heard a pastor preach a message on his five biggest sins and how he deals with it on a daily basis, because that's a real message. We just have backed off of it because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us if we really got honest about things. Now, I'm not saying I should come in here and I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying something's wrong with the church is what I'm saying. We've gotten this thing configured all backwards. And I'm not saying I know the answer, but I am saying there is a problem here that we've got to remedy somehow. Somehow, some way. We've got to become the church again. We've got to become those disciples who have gone through process and have opened up their hearts with those around them in such a way that they can be made whole and strengthened. And then they can, when they make mistakes in their pride and or whatever else goes on, because we're always still humans who get manipulated into doing stupid things from this time or that time, that they have a process of getting it out. You know what I mean? Getting it off of us. And whoever we bring here, it needs to be someone who will open up their lives to us so that we can help them stay whole and holy and clean and growing, so that he can help us with the anointing God has given him to do the same. Isn't that right? And so those are the things that are, I mean, really, the past year strongly have been bothering me. And I'm saying, God, show us how. Now, I'll just be vulnerable with you. I got into this men's group, and it's like a revival. It feels like this is a revival that's occurring. And it's outside the church because we've forgotten how you do this, really. We've forgotten how you just can be real and you can just say it. Like, here it is. This is what I did. So I get on these Zoom calls every day with these other men, and it's high-level accountability. How are you living? Are you leading a Jesus Christ self-denying life with extraordinarily high standards? I mean, they hold really high standards in every area, physically, mentally, spiritually. We have objectives that we are trying to hit every day, and these guys are brutally honest. I mean, the stuff that is confessed on there is like, whoa. It's funny, though, when somebody confesses something, when it's something big, I'll get on one of those calls, and a guy will get hit, and they'll be broken. It's not a joke. They'll be like, you know, I cheated on my wife, and I had to tell her the other day, and it's just, they're trying to explain this, and then another guy will confess something similar. It sparks this confession of people getting these things out. And I'm like, gosh, this is the church happening. And yet I'm a pastor of a church. We don't do things like that. We don't do that. Guys, what are we doing? That's what I'm seriously wondering. What are we doing if we're not doing that? If that's not being done, what is it that we are doing? We're just carrying our pain home, is what we're doing. Taking it out on our families. That's what we're doing. Come back next week and sing a few songs again. Listen to another entertaining message. Am I right? Hey guys, you can fire me if you want to. I'm telling you the truth. And we are weak because of it. The enemy is not afraid of this place. And I just, guys, I want to see. I'm terrified of this stuff, by the way, of this idea that I'm throwing out there. I'm not aiming at you. You're bad people. This is me. I've been playing along for a long time. I'm just seeing my nation go, doo. This, everything, just think about it. What's happening around us? People empowered to say the most ridiculous, godless things that I have ever heard. Trying to take over. That, guys, they will take this nation to hell. And that's the price we're all going to pay if we don't learn how to do the New Testament again, or maybe for the first time. And so I need to stop. So I just want to suggest, communicate with each other. Find somebody that you trust, that you can risk trusting some stuff and get it out. What I began to practice was James 5:16, and I did it literally. I would do it this way. I would say, okay, here's what it says. Confess your sins one to another, and then pray for one another so that you may be healed. So I would confess my sin. I'd have, you know, a couple guys in there. I've been meeting with all kinds of guys. Anybody just meeting, surrounding myself. And I just confess a sin. I say, now you pray right now about that. Because you know we say that. I'll pray for you about that. No, you pray right now. I want to hear it come out of your lips right now about the sin that I just confessed, that I'll be healed. I just started literally doing what the Bible says. I'm here to tell you it works. You don't have to do it too many times if you start doing it. Because you'll get healed. And you'll stop doing whatever thing you were doing that you had to confess. And then you can take it back a level into a deeper place in your heart. And God will heal you there too. And then you take it deeper. And you just get, you get more and more like Christ. And you get more and more free, and you get more and more courageous, and you have God's love coming through you in such a way that you show up when you need to show up for someone else who needs a word or needs encouragement. You just start showing up. You start treating your children better so they want to hear from you instead of not. So guys, I'm a broken person. That I messed it all up earlier. I got hurt in here. I let the enemy in. I let him hurt me. Man, he did a job. You let him in there, he will do a job on you. He'll put so many booby traps and grenades behind doorways, and he just booby traps the whole thing. If you let him have it, which is what I did, you got to walk through every bit of that with believers. Get it all out. Become whole. Man, that's what the gospel's all about. And then we can stand for Christ. And when the heat comes, won't bother us. Won't bother us. I tell you what, would anybody like prayer tonight? You want some prayer? Yes. Okay, what's happening? Oh, okay. You want to come on up here? Anybody else would like prayer for Israel? Okay. If we could have some people come forward, y'all. Where's Bob? Nobody going to come forward? We're just going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them, okay? Why don't everybody stand? Y'all been sitting there a long time. I've been beating you senseless. Everybody wake up. Do what? No, y'all can stay seated. That'd be fine. All right, guys, we're believing. We're believers, right? We're standing on the promises. We're praying over Alan and Donna Dixon. Have COVID. They've got a brother just gone through serious triple bypass and just a lot of stuff going on. Anything else exactly?
Their mother and Nathan also.
Mother and Nathan. Okay, all of them have COVID. So we want
nobody to care for any of them.
Golly, yeah, they're kind of in a bind there. Everybody's being isolated. And then we'll get Carol in just a second. So, Father, we anoint Miss Peggy. We lift up Alan, Donna, her mother and brother, both brothers. Lord, as they have COVID right now, Father, as they're dealing with having to separate and the brother be alone, Father, they can't come together. God, we're asking for your spirit to minister to them. Lord, give them life. Give them love. Give them truth. Father, I pray that you would share with them what your invitation is in this moment. You're always present. You're always working. You're always at work. Father, I pray they see you working and join you in what you're doing. May their prayer life blossom and bloom in this period of time, in this difficulty. We're asking you for healing from COVID. We're asking for Donna's brother to be at rest and peace, recovering in the hospital. Lord, we're just praying that your spirit would bring the peace of the Lord that all of them need as they work through this difficult time. And Father, we just thank you that you're moving right now. And we just ask you continue to help us pray. Help us know what it is they need. Help us to call and encourage and lift up and bless. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, as Carol is standing in for your nation, the nation of Israel, we've been grafted into. Father, we lift them up, Lord God. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Yes. Lord God, we're praying for wisdom in their leadership. Lord God, we're praying for a revival to hit. Yes. Father, we know that you're remarrying your people, Lord God, that the eyes of their hearts will be opened to see who their Messiah is in these last days, and we're praying that that would occur. Father, we're praying miracles occur around the borders of Israel as they are being attacked from all sides. Lord God, this is nothing new. This has always been the case, but Father, we stand today for your nation, the nation of Israel, and the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord God, we're just praying for your glory cloud to cover them. God, for all of the things that they have working for them, for their own defense, that you would supercharge those things spiritually. Lord God, we're asking for the people across our nation and all the anti-Semitism and all the hatred. Lord, we're praying the Spirit of God come to this nation in such a way that we break into a prayer revival, lifting up this nation that is your nation. Father, we come against the enemy's plans, who is to steal, kill, and destroy, and we bring the mighty name of Jesus and abundant life in the face of the enemy, Lord, and we pray your protection over your people. Lord God, do miracles in the land of Israel this day. Do miracles around their borders. Father, I pray for our leadership to be pressured in such a way that they would yield to what's right and true, that we would stand with Israel in this nation and be their brother. Lord God, we're praying for your spirit to move upon the congressman and the president and everyone surrounding him, that the truth of God would come forward and that we would do the right thing in this nation as we always have done in regards to Israel. Lord God, may we stand with your people. Father, we worship you that we can lift up these things and that the prayer moves things in your direction. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done in Israel as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done in Israel, in Jerusalem, as it is in heaven this day, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we worship you and praise you for that. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Don't leave yet. Yeah, okay. Miss Sylvia, what's happening?
I want to stand in for a lady I met whose heart is only working 30%. She's dying. I don't even know her last name. My name is Brenda.
Okay, Brenda. All right. If y'all want to gather around Miss Sylvia, and then we anoint her in the name of the Lord, we lift up Brenda to you, Father. You know who she is. You know where she is. You know what she needs. Father, as her heart is not functioning as it was created to function, we speak life into it right now, Father. And we just come into agreement that you're the life giver, Father. You can make the blood pump work. And we ask for miracles to occur in this woman's life. Father, as Sylvia took the time to stop and to talk to her and to ask and then to pray for her, Lord God, I pray that we could now add to that powerfully, Lord God, for you brought her before Sylvia for such a time as this, that you're ready to move, you're ready to bless and touch her. God, I pray that that one stop and that one conversation and prayer that Sylvia had with her would open up into her life being transformed as the gospel of Jesus Christ would open up in her life. I pray the eyes of her heart would open, that she could see who her Lord and Savior is, Lord God. And we pray healing power would enter into her heart. And Lord, that all those things would work the way that you created to work. Lord, we cover her with the blood of Jesus. And we just lift up Brenda to you right now, Father. I pray that miracles occur. Lord, I pray your promises come to life in her. I pray she is drawn to a local church from a son or daughter of God to a place where she could be plugged in and prayed for and helped. God, we ask you surround her and bless her mightily. And we thank you, Father, for getting to join you in what you're doing. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Lord, thank you for your spirit here tonight. Lord, we ask for your grace and mercy to draw us into the New Testament, into the gospel, and into the truth. Father, I pray that this church would find our weakness and confess it, so that your strength could come through us as a whole, Lord God. I pray this church be a place that you could rest and remain upon. And Father, I pray your blessing over these people. Thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anything else?
All right. I don't know how many people have noticed. I've been doing it for a long time. But I guess I should have said something. When I come up here after a service and I sit down right here, what I am doing is making myself available for what my brothers preached all day today. And I'm up here, and it'll stay right here. Those of you that hang around here for a little while when these services are over, you know I'm one of the last ones out here. And that's why I do it. I love y'all. I promise you, anything you bring up here will stay right here.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't be the only one carrying it after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Jimmy. Guys, I'm telling you, there are trustworthy people in this place. I'm telling you, if we would just open up to each other, there are trustworthy people in this place. There are Christ-like people here all around you. Trust the Lord. And let's just get it out, see what God will do. Bless you guys. I love you. And we will see you Wednesday, okay? Bye-bye. Thank you, ma'am.